Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong. In this week's program, we're going to learn about agricultural journalism outside of the United States. But before we get there, let's just take a look at what you're going to find on agwired.com. This week, Cindy and I will both be attending the World Pork Expo in Des Moines, Iowa. So that coverage will start probably Wednesday morning of this week. Sponsors for our coverage of World Pork Expo include Novus International and Beringer Ingelheim. And we really appreciate their support because that's what makes it possible for us to be out at these industry events, bringing it all to you virtually live. This past weekend, the ZimCom team basically went NASCAR. I attended the Nationwide Series first ever STP 300 that was held at Chicagoland Speedway in Joliet, Illinois. And Cindy attended the first ever STP 400, which took place at Kansas Speedway. Our coverage from there, including lots of photos, interviews, was primarily focused on our domesticfuel.com website, but also on AgWired. And in the case of each of these, we also posted onto our sponsors' blogs, and that includes the Illinois Corn Marketing Board blog, which you can find off their website at ilcorn.org, and also Corn Commentary, which is the National Corn Growers Association blog, on which we do assist with publishing content. So look for lots of NASCAR activity there, especially if you're a racing fan, or a corn grower for that matter. Let's turn back to this week's Zimcast interview. I spoke with Damian O'Reilly. He is an Irish agricultural journalist, and you just might guess that when you hear our conversation. At the Altec Symposium, I'm visiting with Damian O'Reilly. First of all, Damian, tell me what you do.
Well, I work for RTE, which is the national broadcaster in Ireland. I've been working there since 1998, and among my many duties with the station, I mean, I've covered sport, current affairs programs, the main phone-in show on a weekly basis. I've done that as well. But my main job is working on a program called Countrywide, which is broadcast live every Saturday morning for an hour to the nation. And it generally focuses on rural and farming matters, but we've kind of broadened the horizon away from hardcore farming so that we're kind of bringing food and farming matters to a broad audience.
So do you see how that has attracted your audience or been useful or of interest? I mean, how would you describe that kind of a programming change and what it's meant to your program and to the audience?
Well, it certainly has maintained a very high listenership, which is, you know, the important thing at the end of the day. If you don't have a big listenership, you're in trouble. And we have maintained a very strong listenership since the program actually, I suppose, was transformed from its original guise as Farm Week. We changed it to Countrywide almost 2 years ago. And as I said, it's a 45-minute program. I like when I get emails or texts or tweets from listeners to say, I have absolutely no interest in farming, but it was great to hear the farmers this morning explaining to me, you know, how he grows his corn or how he rears his sheep or how he rears his turkeys for Christmas. And I find, and I have found, that people are now becoming really much more interested in where their food comes from and what role farmers play in society. Whereas before this, I suppose, the people that listened to farming programs were farmers. But I think now we've softened it up a lot more. And farmers are fairly thankful that what we're doing is we're, I suppose, diluting or translating on the air what they do to make it simple for the broader audience. So, I mean, they are their customers at the end of the day. They are consumers. And if the role of what the farmer does and the food sector and agribusiness does is explained to a broad audience, well, I think that's job done.
So you mentioned the kind of response you're getting. How about as far as, you know, besides farmers themselves, do you involve in terms of interviews, guests, what have you, people from a much broader spectrum, and have you had to deal with those who are maybe very critical of how farming is being done in your country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the rural-urban divide is alive and well, not only in Ireland, but I think here at the Alltech Conference last year, we had a discussion on that, and I was amazed to find that it exists in every single country, of course. I mean, you know, the contentious issue in Ireland and throughout Europe, but indeed maybe throughout the world, is the whole area of subsidies. And there is a strong lobby out there who believe that farmers should not be getting the leg up, that if I'm a carpenter and, you know, the building trade collapses, I'm out of work, I don't get a subsidy to keep me in place. And I have been accused on the air by people of promoting the idea of subsidising farmers by merely explaining to listeners what they're there for. And the reason that they're there in Ireland is that if we didn't have them, rightly or wrongly, and farmers don't want subsidies, most of them will tell you, they prefer to get a return from the marketplace. But that farmers... I explained that the reason why they're there is to, I suppose, keep food prices down and to keep farmers on the land. And as I said, it's a very, very contentious issue. And yeah, it can be, you know, the discussion on food and food production and agribusiness and farming can be very divisive, which I think is healthy. At least people are showing an interest in it, you know.
Well, and I think it's... just makes it that much more important to do the kind of thing you're doing. You know, here we've talked about social media a lot, vis-a-vis farmers getting involved yeah. themselves, or maybe some of these consultants and agribusiness representatives that are here. We see that as a very strong and growing effort here in the United States. I kind of got a sense from a discussion dinner we were in that maybe it's not so much in other countries, but perhaps yours. But as you said, consumers kind of want to know more about where their food's coming mm-hmm. from, because they're getting hit with all kinds of information, and how do they know what's right or wrong? It's really becoming a challenge today.
It is, and I think we have in Ireland probably one of the strongest lobbies in any occupation is the Irish Farmers Association. They have so much power, and actually as we speak today, they have mobilised several thousand people to the gates of our Parliament over an issue to do with supermarkets and price fixing and all of that. They are a massive organisation. But I think that farmers in Ireland depend possibly on the IFA a little bit too much to do their talking for them. And when the IFA or the other farm organisations talk, you know, they tend to highlight the negative issues and the reasons why they need more money or they need more grants from government or whatever. And people see them, farmers then collectively, as a group of quote unquote whingers. So I think one or two farmers, younger farmers now, are saying, hold on a minute, I have the opportunity here to tell my story about what I do. I'm not going to depend on, you know, the global umbrella farm organization to speak for me. And one or two younger farmers now have their own blogs, they're tweeting, and they have their Facebook pages, and they're very interested because they put it in simple English what they've done today on the farm, and they're building up a nice little following there. And for example, one young farmer in a place called County Roscommon, a very rural part of Ireland, his name is Brendan Allen, he farms with his brother Derek. They're very progressive with social media, and with one tweet about 6 weeks ago, just one morning he got up and he said, you know, wouldn't it be great for the Irish food sector if everybody in Ireland ate only Irish for a week, as in their breakfast, dinner and tea. And he tweeted this, eat only Irish for a week. And with that one tweet, it became national news in the newspapers. He was interviewed on the main radio programmes, and he was also featured on national television for this campaign, which attracted thousands of followers in Ireland. And it all started with one tweet.
That's just amazing, and kind of shows the power of it. It also, in some ways, I think maybe shows how almost capricious this can be, in that, you know, not everybody can just make that one right tweet at the right time.
Yes.
You know, it's not that magical.
No.
It really is a lot of factors coming together.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we discussed it at the dinner last night. Anybody can tweet. Anybody can set up a Facebook page. But the trick is to make sure that the information that you're putting out there to promote yourself or your business, that it's relevant and that it's clear, that it's not in your face, that it's not something that people are going to gloss over if they see the little icon with Chuck Zimmerman every 5 minutes popping up on their Twitter account. They'll soon ignore it. So yes, I think in any business you've got to be very, very clever. And you know, social media, for example, here at Alltech, this year it's been very, very evident, because we've all been tweeting with hashtag All Tech Symposium, and I think, you know, it's worked out really, really well. So, you know, we did discuss it last night that there are opportunities there in the agri-food sector. There is no doubt about it, and I notice it because I have a Twitter account and I follow, rather than having the account to be followed, I use it to follow, and, you know, I pick up some really good stories that other people put up there, you know, on food and farming matters. So I find it amazing, to be honest with you.
An information source. And absolutely. I think it's great that you point that out, because a lot of people maybe hesitate, thinking, well, what am I going to write? You know what? You don't have to write. You can use it, like you said, just to be another information source. Just take a quick look ahead for, I know you're involved in International Federation of Ag Journalists. I'm sure your Irish Guild as well. What do you see kind of in the crystal ball for the near-term future for your business? Things going to stay kind of the same? Are you going to have to really make some changes? I mean, what's your sense of what you're facing?
Oh, well, I mean, it's been happening. There's a revolution continuing all the time in the media business, and that is to, you know, keep up with you know, all the changes that happen. The point I'm trying to make is that when I went into farm broadcasting 13 years ago, our program was recorded and it went out at 7:30 in the morning, and it was called Farm Week, and it focused on technical farming matters. As time has gone on, that's evolved into the program I have now, which is countrywide, and it's more broader and it's live and all that. So things are always changing. The Guild of Agricultural Journalists, actually, this year we're celebrating 50 years, and we have our annual general meeting coming up in June, and it'll be a wonderful affair. And I tell you why. The Irish economy is in tatters at the moment, as you know. The IMF are in there. People now are beginning to say, you know, that agriculture, and Pierce Lyons has said it here, and the agri-food sector and agri-business will lead Ireland out of recession. We export 8 billion euros of food and drink every year. We export 80% of what we produce. And now, having gone through a period of time when anybody connected with agriculture or farming, and even people like myself, were kind of persona non grata. Who are you? The farmers? Oh, that's you're yesterday's guys. You know, Ireland has moved on. We're now a construction nation. We're, you know, a tourist. That's where we are. Pharmaceuticals. That's where we've moved into. The whole thing has collapsed. And the one shining light, the one area that's growing, the one area that's turning a profit, is the agri-food sector. And I find as well, with the BSE crisis, with the pork dioxin scare that we had, with the foot and mouth crisis, which brought the country to a standstill, again, speaking from an Irish point of view, that these little reminders, albeit bad reminders now and again, but they are gentle reminders to the broader public, hold on a minute, you know, agriculture is really, really important. And, you know, all the national newspapers in Ireland and ourselves, they have an agricultural correspondent, you know, keeping an eye on what's happening. So, I absolutely do see a role for agricultural journalism in the future, but maybe broadening its tentacles out a little bit more into agribusiness and food, you know, food production.
Right. Very well said. And I've enjoyed seeing you here once again at the Alltech Symposium, and maybe we'll see you in Canada at IFAJ if you get a chance to go there too.
I hope to go there if I can, sure, because it's always good to meet you too.
You bet. Well, that's Damien O'Reilly, and we are at the Alltech Symposium just concluding. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.
Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I'm going to leave you with some music. Since we were talking NASCAR, this is a song called Racing Heart by Joe Tunin. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
My heart's taking over. listen to me and never mind your mind. You think too much. Your body's refusing, thoughts confusing my mind. Imagining a touch. Oh. Never let your racing heart catch up and pass your mind. Well, that's a lesson.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.